In a very long career as a professor of international history, one of my favorite courses has always been the world since 1900. And of course, the topics covered have evolved over the years. Formal history is, after all, the questions we ask of the past. But there's always one topic that has always been there, the core question of what the relationship should be between the government and the economy. And of course, the story always begins as modern capitalism emerged in the 18th century. That is the idea that a society would be best served if each of us worked for our own private advantage, our own private profit, if you will, which it was assumed would raise all boats, which was ever so quickly challenged by its chief critic, the generic term socialism, which recognized not only capitalism's proclivity to become deeply exploitative, but the reality that a great many social needs simply cannot be addressed through the mechanism of private profit. In today's terms, for example, providing profitable health insurance to the chronically ill. But beyond that important critique, 19th century socialism was extraordinarily diverse, at least until the era of the First World War, when generic socialism fractured into that horrifically dictatorial and economically disastrous system known as communism. And those more democratically minded critics of capitalism, who eventually, under banners variously known as social democracy or its policy cousin, British Labour, set out to find a path that not only rejected the authoritarianism of communism, but the limitations of capitalism, a movement that eventually led to contemporary Europe's mix of capitalism and social supports, from affordable education and healthcare to pensions. And then, as one lecture flows into another, we find ourselves dealing with the Depression and the career of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, easily one of America's most respected presidents, so respected in large measure for his New Deal policies that we reelected him not only in 36, but 1940. And predictably, as I chat away about FDR's efforts to get people back to paid work, largely with government programs, while taking on more structural projects, from regulating banks to protect depositors' savings to establishing Social Security, one student, sometimes more, usually raises a tentative hand and asks, "So what's the difference between the New Deal and social democracy?" And of course, by long practice, I always raise one finger to my lips and say, "Shush," and with good reason, because during FDR's entire presidency, it was not merely the fact that he was disabled from polio that folks covered up, but that FDR openly embraced an economically interventionist policy that was born of the same challenges that inspired European social democracy, without, of course, ever admitting it. After all, as Harry Truman liked to say, socialism is their name for almost anything that helps all the people. And he was right. But it was just as true that Americans really have long assumed that the word socialism somehow means authoritarian communism, which is why Democrats, all the while promoting policies from Social Security to Medicare, from Hillary Care to Obamacare, have historically denied any association with the word socialism, even as they have regularly promoted policies that address challenges that capitalism cannot process successfully. Which brings us to the present nervous panic over whether Bernie Sanders, or his policy twin, Elizabeth Warren for that matter, can win a general election. A nervousness which stems largely from Sanders' own stubborn embrace of the ever so often misunderstood term socialism, when Sanders, long the curmudgeon of Democratic politics, needs not to be promoting the word socialism, but a crusade to help the Democratic Party find its soul, to pull, so to speak, FDR out of the closet and help both the party and America recognize that there is nothing un-American about promoting the social welfare, whether it makes anyone a profit or not. Indeed, FDR, easily one of the most popular presidents in American history, set us on the path both Sanders and Warren are promoting. But if that reality is not fully appreciated, we are never going to rid the country of Donald Trump and his crowd of Constitution-burning enablers.